comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. A quick programming announcement. Today is a USDA reporting day with quarterly grains stocks reports, as well as the annual small grains summary report due out today at 11. We'll have special coverage of those reports this afternoon at 12:39 with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. The dollar continues to surge today, buoyed by a slump in the euro, as eurozone inflation sank to a 5-year low. Consumer price inflation in the eurozone fell to 0.3% in September. That marks the slowest rate since October of 2009. Though the fall was largely due to a big 2.4% drop in energy prices, a closer look shows that the core inflation rate, which excludes energy, tobacco, alcohol, and food, fell to 0.7% from 0.9% in the eurozone. Farmers in Brazil have started planting what may be their third consecutive record soybean crop. Paraná, Brazil's number two soy-growing state in southern Brazil, has planted 6% of its expected 12 million acres after abundant rainfall. Analysts are suggesting a soy crop of between 90 million and 98 million tons that may be enough for Brazil to pass the U.S. as the world's top soybean producer. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NAS released its latest crop progress report for the period ending September 28th. The numbers look like this. 60% of the corn crop is rated mature versus 42% last week, and the 5-year rolling average is 70%. 12% of the corn crop has been harvested versus 7% last year, and the 5-year average of 23%. 69% of soybeans are dropping leaves versus 45% last week, and the 5-year rolling average of 71%. And 10% of the soybean crop is harvested versus 3% last week, and the 5-year rolling average of 17%. Join us November 24th for our first ever WILL Egg Farm Assets Conference at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. Our on-air analysts will be all there talking about corn, soybeans, and cash grain marketing, and we've lined up experts from the U of I College of ACES to take up farmland values, crop insurance, and the ARC-PLC decision. The cost is $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065. Or on our secure website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Today's Midwest forecast has not changed greatly from that of yesterday. It still looks like rain and thunderstorms will begin to develop on the western fringes of the Corn Belt as we go through the latter part of the day today. The precipitation is not expected to be very substantial until we get into the day tomorrow, but at that point we will start to see more significant shower and thunderstorm activity evolving across a part of the region. And the precipitation that will occur tomorrow into Thursday will end up being fairly widespread from eastern Nebraska and portions of eastern Kansas into Wisconsin and western Michigan. Most of the precipitation will probably run from 4/10 of an inch to an inch and a half, and we'll look for a few spots to get greater rains, especially in parts of Missouri and a few locations in Illinois, perhaps. As we get into the Thursday-Friday time period, most of the significant rain will be occurring in the eastern portions of the Midwest, and rain totals in that region will run a little lighter outside of Illinois. We'll look for totals running 2/10 to 8/10 of an inch. range, and there will be some potential for something locally greater. The precipitation is expected to go ahead and push out of the region fairly swiftly, and we'll look for drier weather for a little while. In the meantime, the upper parts of the Midwest may be completely missed by this particular rain event. The eastern Dakotas and portions of Minnesota will be in between two different storm systems. One is the one I just mentioned. The other one is a little storm system that's out there in the western part of the Dakotas and eastern Montana here today that will be moving almost straight northward into Saskatchewan and parts of Manitoba. That low pressure system and the one that's going to travel across the heart of the Midwest will leave a little region of mostly dry conditions, and that will favor the eastern Dakotas and parts of Minnesota, as well as maybe the northeast corner of Nebraska. The rainfall that occurs after this week will likely be somewhat restricted. We do expect a little reinforcing shot of cooler air to work its way into the Midwest as we get into early to midweek next week, and it may set off a few showers, but we're not expecting the precipitation to be very significant. A few hundredths of an inch to a couple tenths of an inch of moisture may be all that will occur in the western Corn Belt, and eastern areas might pick up on a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to 3 or 4 tenths of an inch. The precipitation that does occur next week is expected to be fairly brief as well, and we should see a lot of opportunity to get back into the fields, even though this week's rain will be a little bit on the moderate to locally heavy side. It's been enough dry weather across portions of the Midwest here recently that the ground is firm enough that some of this moisture will be absorbed fairly quickly and will return to a drier environment fairly swiftly enough that fieldwork will advance without a tremendous amount of extra delay. The temperatures are a little bit colder today than they were advertised to be yesterday across the Midwest, and we'll look for the temperatures to be low enough for frost and freezes to occur over a larger portion of the region as we get into the end of this week and during the weekend. Saturday morning looks to be coldest across a big part of the northern Midwest, where we'll probably see some temperatures getting down into the 30s and some upper 20s. The upper 20s will be most likely in portions of Minnesota and perhaps a couple of spots in the eastern Dakota. We'll look for Wisconsin to see temperatures in the 30s or a couple of upper 20s in the traditionally coldest locations. And then as we push this colder air into the rest of the Midwest later in the weekend, we may see some 30-degree lows in quite a few areas on Sunday morning. Reinforcing shot of cooler is possible for next week, but we'll continue to monitor that. Some of the model data this morning regarding that issue has overplayed the cold, and so we want to wait another day or so to assess how cool it might be or might not be next week. We do expect to see a relatively quick turnaround in the temperatures, though. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. Busey is proud to reinvest in our communities, one project at a time, with financial guidance and support to volunteers and community leaders. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. December corn, 324 and three quarters down one, now down one and a quarter. July, 352 and three quarters down one and a quarter. November soybeans, 915 and a half down eight. July, 947 and a quarter down seven and a half. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
How's harvesting progressing your way?
We're still not everybody going, but we've got a few in corn and a few in beans. I'd say we're probably, 50% harvesting right now. Maybe 60. We don't have everybody yet, but it's growing every day.
It's a USDA reporting day with quarterly grain stocks report and the numbers in the wheat report from the small grain summary report. Anything there for us to consider or chew on?
If it's really big or really small, I think it could have an effect. Otherwise, I think because it's old crop, harvest is more prevalent and harvest yields are so big that I don't think it matters much.
Could it be, though, that it's a 1-2 punch? What we get today, and then combine it with the WASD numbers in October, say we get a something of a reduction in the corn stocks and better demand out of the WASD report, that we end up with something under 2 billion bushels next week.
If we end up under 2 billion, that's a big thing, and I don't expect that. I expect it to be back over 2 billion and higher than we've had it due to they're going to have to raise yields a bunch.
Is the market beginning to go sideways in your estimation, or do we still have some further downdrift to go?
I think we have further down, but I think we've started sideways. But I think once they see how big is, we'll see lows set sometime in the next month, and then we'll turn around and grind maybe a little higher, but I don't expect it to grind much higher.
And the U.S. dollar making new four-year highs today.
Right, and that doesn't help our sales any for across the pond.
Thank you much, Pete.
Have a good one.
You too. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, hard red winter December wheat, 563 and a quarter, down 3 and a quarter. March is 567 and three quarters, down 2 and a half. Soft December, 478 and a half, down 2 and three quarters. And March at 491 and a quarter, down 2 and three quarters. December corn, 324 and three quarters, down 1. March, 337 and a half, down 1. May, 345 and three quarters, down 1 and a quarter. July, 352 and three quarters, down 1 and a quarter. November soybeans, 915 and three quarters, now 6. Down 7 and a half. January, 924 and a quarter, down 8. July, 948, down 6 and three quarters. October soybean meal, 307.20, down 90. October soybean oil, 32.55, down 24. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.